Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Chucky's All 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Presented by our friends at Crop Metcalf. They are the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. If you're looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. It's Bish, Cakes, EB, and JP. That's the foursome. JP Finley covers the Redskins for NBC Sports Washington. Will join us at 7:20. But every morning at 7 o'clock, we hit the skins.
No. We made the rule on Wednesday. Wednesday, it's the positive skins. I don't care
Wednesday?
If they're 0-14. Yeah. Come on.
Even on a
back.
Monday night game?
Go back. Yeah. I don't care. We're not playing.
Yeah, let's
sad.
Just
hail the skins all week,
but
every
you know
week.
What? He did sneak it in. The whole thing played. So now what's in people's brains is sad HTTR.
No. Stop. We're going to do the bit again. We're gonna play the stinger or whatever.
He'll and learn then at some point.
Yeah, you'll learn. I'll learn ya. No!
Oops, I was habit. Sorry, force of habit.
Do it again. The
Take
whole thing.
Three. It's like me cutting spots in the morning before the show starts.
There we go, Cakes.
What do you mean, Cakes? We're doing those live.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what I was talking about there. Live spots.
All right,
box
boys.
Live spots all the time.
Skins obviously lose 0-2. Defense is atrocious, but they're making some moves, but they didn't add anybody to the defensive side yet. They released tight end Donald Parham from the practice squad, and they signed tight end Drew Belcher. Parham, I didn't realize, he's 6'8". 6'8 tight end who spent most of the offseason with the Skins. He went undrafted. It's been a little bit of time with the Lions, but didn't do much, so they just released him. Replaced him with Drew Belcher, who played at Maine and started out his career as a quarterback before eventually converting to the tight end position.
This doesn't send a signal, right? It doesn't send a signal about Jordan Reed. This is just back into the roster. Somebody tweeted us and like, they picked up a new tight end. That tells you Jordan Reed's not ready. I'm like,
I'm not sure it does.
I don't think so.
They lost J.P. Holtz to the Bears on waivers. So it's just that extra tight end they want to have there. He's on the practice squad. It's not a big deal.
By the way, Vernon Davis definitely went under the total this past week.
He did.
At the end of our pregame show, we always play over-under. Tom gives us some Vegas lines, and I believe the number for Vernon Davis was 35 yards.
Yeah.
Cakes, of course, was like,
I always love overs.
How about the
I said,
one
I have
play
a vibe.
When he caught
under.
The ball over the middle, and he was really close to the first down marker?
When he went backwards.
But he went backwards? What was he doing?
Don't know.
I think he thought he could beat that man and then gain more yards afterwards, but the guy got him around, I don't know, the ankles.
I mean, he didn't even fight for that last yard.
Yeah, it was weird. The Redskins did add a defensive player, though. They signed free agent Noah Spence, who played with the Tampa Bay Bucks for, I think, parts of 3 years. He was a former second-round pick, Cakes.
Eastern Kentucky.
Who, in his first season, had 5.5 sacks, who showed some promise. But in 18 games since, he's only had one sack.
Ooh.
He's only 25, though.
So they gave up on him.
I guess. Maybe he wasn't a fit with Todd Bowles' defense, and so they moved on.
He was on injured reserve in October of 2017.
Is it going to irk you if Preston Smith puts up big numbers this year?
I mean, not
Green
really.
So he had 1.5 sacks in the opener, and he had an interception in the second game.
It doesn't really bother me because
he's kind of putting up numbers.
It's great, but it just wasn't working here. So yeah.
Maybe
when
just
it doesn't
was underutilized here. Maybe he just wasn't put in the right spots here.
That's fine.
It's a question that you need to ask.
Well, if they go and produce elsewhere, then clearly you didn't use him properly. But you know,
and that's a defensive coordinator problem.
Right. But I don't. When guys leave here, I don't care if they do well because most of the times when they leave here, they sucked here.
No, but I think it might bother you in that if it is a scenario where they were actually just not used properly, and you're like, damn it, we could have gotten a 12-sack season out of Preston
Smith.
Yeah,
I never saw that, ever. I never saw 12 sacks out of Preston Smith.
I wanted they dropped him back. You know, the 3-4 linebackers on this team sometimes drop back in coverage, which isn't their strength.
Can anybody tell me, is Montez Sweat ahead or behind the pace for 13.5 sacks?
I think he's behind.
He's
miles
behind that
behind.
Pace?
Just, no,
miles
slightly.
Just he's
slightly.
Just slightly off the pace at this point.
How about 13 times where you just touch the quarterback with your pinky or with your index finger?
Now I'm thinking he's behind on the pace of take the one away for that number.
Right.
He's behind 3.5 sack pace.
The early returns aren't good, but it's not fair. He's only
young,
2 games.
He's a young player.
I know.
He's kind of grow into the role.
People say it takes a long time for pass rushers. So we'll see. I'm not going to just completely kill him, but so far, underwhelming.
John Kime made a good point on the show yesterday. Said Khalil Mack, who many people say is the best at it right now, had 5.5 as a rookie.
Right. By the way, Khalil Mack, so far, as great as he is, only has 1 sack through 2 games. Right. And I don't know.
Although he was wrecking the hell out of that game against Green Bay. He may not have put
you
up the numbers.
You can have impacts on games without having sacks.
Okay.
Don't get caught up in that.
I think,
well, it's still a big
sack. Wasn't Aaron Rodgers sacked 6 times in that opener?
A bunch of times, yeah.
Yeah.
And Khalil Mack had a lot to do with it.
Right. Look, he'll disrupt us. I'm sure he will. Trent Williams holdout, of course, enters the third week. It looked like it was trending in the right direction.
You're not
there.
Counting the training camp and preseason.
Well, third week of the regular
really
season. Yeah. Well, this is what matters. Yeah. And most people thought, you know, the conventional wisdom was at the time this story broke was despite him saying that, you know, through other people that he'd never play for the Redskins again, that once he started missing game checks or the threat of missing game checks, he'd be here. Well, he's missed a few already, and there seems to be no end in sight. D-Hall said he'd be sooner rather than later. We had Morgan Moses on the show. He comes on every week. He said last week it was 50-50 he'd show up. Well, that didn't happen. Mm-hmm. I forgot to ask him. On Monday, should have asked him, you know, what's the latest with Trent? But there seems to be no end in sight. And I know that, you know, at this point, it's personal. I don't think the Redskins are going to trade him. And I don't think he's going to come in.
They should. They should actively be looking to trade him.
I mean, the Patriots left tackle is out for, I think, 8 games. Is that Isaiah Wynn? I think that's his name.
Mm-hmm.
He's on the shelf for 8 weeks. Why are the Redskins actively not trying to trade him?
And the 49ers just lost theirs.
Yeah, what if they had discussions and they're just not willing to offer what the Skins want?
Maybe you have to lower the bar.
Well, the problem is J.P. Finley's reporting that in the preseason or whatever, that the Patriots offered a first-round pick.
And turn it down?
Turn it down.
Yeah, that's kind of silly.
So that tells you that they're not of the mindset to trade
them.
They're just being stubborn.
That first-round pick would be number 31 or 32.
Still.
True.
Right.
True.
It's an asset.
True.
That they're not going to have if they don't deal them.
Now, there are assets that are floating around the league that people always assume the Redskins will be players in. But by most accounts, the Redskins aren't going to pursue Jalen Ramsey. I don't know if you guys watched any of his presser yesterday. I watched some of it. It was wild.
There are a couple teams that did offer first-round picks for Ramsey.
They want 2 first-round picks.
Yeah, that's probably
they
too much.
They want 2 first-rounders. But he's a stud.
He's a pain in the ass, though.
Pain in the ass. But he held a press conference, and I assume it was picked up by live television, live radio there in Jacksonville. He couldn't have cursed more.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Let's run it. Unedited.
Well, all you got to do is Google it. You could find it. But the Redskins, apparently, they're not going to be the team that pursues him. And, look, they could use his help, but he's going to want a new deal. He's going to want a ton of money. And, with all the money they've got tied in, Alex Smith and, hell, even Josh Norman for this year, I don't know how they can make that work. But, man, if you could, that'd be a hell of an addition. What else is out there? All right, so obviously we talked about it earlier, the Daniel Jones situation. How does that affect the Redskins? Does it affect your timetable in terms of when the Redskins make the move to the young quarterback? I'm arguing you can't do it when he's playing extremely well. Even if the team goes 0-4, 0-5, and is going nowhere, it's hard to bench arguably your best player. You look at some of the stats on Keenum so far, he's been really, really good. He's 56 of 81 in his first 2 games, got a completion percentage of almost 70%. Let me see.
He did rack up a ton of yards in meaningless drives where they scored backdoor touchdowns.
True. They were late touchdowns.
But his overall numbers are good.
I hate that because people say, oh, it's a four-quarter game. You can't just play one quarter. Well, then you can't then take away things that teams accomplished late in the fourth quarter. If you're going to use that accusation, then you have to take these stats that they're accumulating in the fourth quarter, too.
Getting back to the Redskins taking on the Giants, I think I'd rather face an Eli-led Giants than a Daniel Jones-led Giants.
I think
Daniel Jones...
Probably true.
He's going to be pretty effective stepping in for Eli.
He's a rookie.
He's going to have some growing pains, but I think he can deliver the ball better. He's more mobile, obviously, than Eli Manning. Mm-hmm. Eli Manning can't get out of the way of the pass rush. I'd rather face Eli Manning than Daniel Jones at this point.
Yeah, but the game might be
Jones
too fast for him.
Well, he's going to see things he's never seen before.
Never seen.
He doesn't have the strongest arm. So, I don't know.
I think he's going to surprise people. I think he's going to play well in Tampa, and then you're facing a guy with some confidence at home.
I think his arm's better than what people were reporting. I remember you guys saying you saw him at the combine, and he had to crow hop for his deep ball.
Well, he did.
But I know in the preseason, there was one throw, which he threw a touchdown, to the back corner of the end zone. It must have traveled 50 yards, and it was zipped in there with the defender right on the receiver.
Mm-hmm. Problem for him is he doesn't have a ton of weapons outside of Barkley and Engram.
Yeah.
I mean, right now he's dealing with Sterling Shepard trying to get out of the concussion protocol. He's throwing to guys like Benny Fowler, Cody Latimer, which is not a lot out there.
I would throw to Barkley and Engram 25 times.
So many times.
Yeah.
I would target them so often.
Yes. Yeah.
They would each have double-digit targets.
Correct.
All right, we'll get
Daniel
into this
Jones.
More with our next guest, J.P. Finley from NBC Sports Washington. He wrote, similarly, how Case Keenum is not the problem with this team.
Well, he's definitely
shouldn't
not.
Be pulled at this time. So we'll talk to J.P. Finley, Redskins insider, next here on The Junkies.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. Join us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotlines. Our buddy J.P. Finley covers the Redskins for NBC Sports Washington. What's up, J.P.?
What's up, fellas? Hey, thanks for having me.
Hey, J.P., what does J.P. stand for?
James Patrick.
James Patrick Finley. Oh, Jimmy P.
Nice.
Does anybody call you Jimmy or James?
Jimmy.
No, that was my dad. That's how I got JP.
So you've always, like in high school, you were JP?
Yeah, like, as long as I can. I tried to be James for a week at college. Just didn't work.
Yeah.
There were like three people that knew me from high school, and yeah. JP just stuck.
Yeah, all your college bros are like, nah, man, you're JP. Get out of here
exactly.
With this James nonsense.
JP works.
All right, so I don't know. Let's first, why don't you tell us about, should we be excited about Noah Spence? I mean, What's that going to add to the team? They're looking for it. They're not getting any pass rush. Is he going to get an opportunity to play?
I think he might. It's an interesting move. This is a guy, though, that was a major prospect once upon a time. He was the Pennsylvania High School Player of the Year coming to high school, and then he went to Ohio State, and he started off on Ohio State.
Hold on. We'll talk to JP. See if we can get him on a better
line.
Yeah,
we'll hook it up.
Yeah, he did. He went to Ohio State, and then he had a drug suspension, I think, or a PED suspension, and then transferred to East Kentucky. And he was a second-round pick.
Yeah. Had 5.5 sacks his first year.
But then he had a shoulder injury, and then Tampa released him, I think, sometime last year.
He's only 25 years old. He's a young guy.
Oh, hell yeah.
And one of the things that Jay tried to say about the defense, I mean, yes, he was perplexed and he talked about reaching them, but he did point out, to me it was an excuse, that there were two of the better offensive lines in football. So maybe when they face some of the weaker offensive lines.
Well, maybe not the best. You play a little bit better. Not necessarily wreaking havoc, but have a little more success. Go ahead, JP. You were talking about Spence?
Yeah, so sorry about that, guys.
I'm sorry.
So Spence was a – he was a big-time recruit coming out of high school in Harrisburg, PA. Went to Ohio State, and he had some success there. I mean, as a sophomore, he had 7.5 sacks at Ohio State. But then he got popped for MDMA test, had a couple more failed drug tests, got thrown out of Ohio State and the Big Ten. I mean, just thrown out of the Big Ten. Ended up at Eastern Kentucky, still was a second-round pick. His rookie year with the Bucks, he had 5.5 sacks. But after that, it kind of fell apart. Never played a full 16-game season. Was released this year before on roster cutdown day. So he has big size. I mean, this is a guy that at one point was an elite prospect but hasn't gotten a lot done since. I don't know what your expectations would be for that player, but clearly they know they need more off the edge. And I don't think there's a corresponding roster move at outside linebacker, but if you look at their roster right now, they're carrying 6 D linemen and they're carrying 7 cornerbacks. If I was T.Y. McGill or the 7th corner, I'd be a little worried about my roster spot today.
So they signed him to the active roster.
They're going to, per the report out of Tampa. It hasn't happened yet.
Okay.
All right, JP, are there whispers by coaches, scouts, personnel people about sort of the underwhelming start to Montez Sweat's career, or is this sort of to be expected? It's no big deal. It takes a while for pass rushers often to develop. Everything is going according to plan.
Probably somewhere in between, right? I think the staff would like to see more explosion out of Montez at this point, and that hasn't happened. I know some folks wonder if he's all the way right or if this is just a transition period. And I think you guys were saying while I was getting my phone right that he has gone up against some really good tackles so far, and maybe he'll catch up once he gets, you know, faces a little bit different caliber of opponent. The thing that I've heard over and over is that he needs to learn his positioning on the NFL level, that he gets too close. He's too far inside against tackles where he needs to use his leverage and his length. Because, I mean, he's a big, long, strong guy. And if he can keep these tackles further away, keep his arms out, he should be able to turn the corner on them. That just hasn't happened yet.
I just don't see the moves. I mean, I watch him every play. I just don't see the pass rushing moves.
When you say he's not all the way right, did he have something in spring train or in training camp that held him out for a while? I can't remember.
Yeah, early on he missed about a week, maybe a little less than a week. But they said he got kicked in the calf,
and then
he missed, I would say, at least 4 or 5 practices. You would like to think he ended up playing in the preseason and stuff, but I'd be very surprised if that was the kind of thing that was lingering. But there was that period in probably early August where he was missing time.
Is Jordan Reed going to play?
That's a great question.
It's a great question every week, isn't it?
It is. It's tricky. It seems to have gone the opposite direction. I would say before week one in Philly, there was real momentum that he was going to play. He didn't play. Then going into week two against Dallas, you kind of wondered, like, all right, if he missed week one, are things getting better? And we saw him on the practice field, but then for him to not be on the practice field last Friday was a big kind of moment, I think. And then that the team just went with the 2 tight ends, and I don't think that had much impact on their offense, not having a 3rd tight end. Obviously, Jordan Reed would make a much bigger impact, but it's not like they seem as determined to carry 3. Has kind of changed the dynamic a bit. We'll see. I mean, if he's back out at practice today, will be interesting because you got to wonder if there was a setback.
Well, Chris Thompson made a good point. We asked him about that. He said, yeah, he was on the practice field on Wednesday, and then he said he felt good, but then he woke up Friday. And, you know, when you have so many concussions, you could feel great one day and poopy the next.
Yeah.
So obviously he wasn't feeling good on Friday, so that could happen again this week.
And those symptoms can vary so much. I mean, it can be a headache. It can be, you know, like vision. It can be being sensitive to light. A lot can happen. And I think he started taking part in team drills, which is a really big step to go from individuals to team stuff. And the next step is, you know, being cleared. Maybe something happened during the team drills that we just don't know about. And they're not live contact or really anywhere close to that. But you never know if somebody just gets tangled up a little bit and maybe their helmet gets dinged up or something. We don't know. And with the rules of the NFL concussion protocol, we're not allowed to talk to Jordan. I've seen him in the facility, and especially that week leading up to the Eagles game, he looked like he was excited to get back on the field. Last week, not seeing him on Friday really kind of made you question where this thing is going.
Joined by J.P. Finley, covers the Redskins for NBC Sports Washington. J.P., everybody on the planet knows that the Miami Dolphins are actively trying to lose games. Yet they're only 31st in the league in third down conversions allowed on defense at 59.1%. The Redskins are at 64.3%. I mean, it's no wonder the defense is getting ripped to shreds. They're out on the field all the time. How do they improve that going forward? And if you allow, I know Mitch Trubisky and the Bears offense sucks for the most part, but if you allow them to go 10 for 15 on third downs, they're going to march up and down the field on you.
Yeah, I mean, I know Bickle's been calling for it for 2 weeks. I think if the Bears come in and put up 30 points, then Greg Minuski's job is in real trouble.
Yeah.
This is a team that has one touchdown in 2 weeks.
Right.
That said, I think the best thing that could happen for the Redskins defense, one, is to get Jonathan Allen back. I think if they get either Fabian Moreau or Quentin Dunbar back in the secondary would help a lot. But outside of John Allen, I think just getting their own run game going. They've been completely unable to run the football. That's the best way to sustain long drives and to keep the offense on the field. Adrian Peterson was back active in week two, but I think his usage was pretty odd. I believe he had under 20 snaps. Wendell Smallwood got a whole series. Peterson wasn't injured from everyone I've talked to.
He doesn't want
to
play
Jay wants him to disappear.
Jay would rather play you at running back.
He wants him to disappear. It's just too much of a hassle.
I think
it doesn't
that's
fit
becoming
his
pretty
scheme.
Obvious. Yeah. Honestly,
right.
And you guys were on it. I've been crediting your report from the first week of the season. Now it's it was hard. Week one, I think you can make this argument honestly. Adrian Peterson being inactive week one made more sense than how they used him in week two.
Yeah, it was weird. I'll be surprised if he makes it through the season. If Jay's here by the end of the season, I'll be surprised if AP is
right, too.
Something's gonna break there. I thought it
seems a little combustible, honestly.
Yeah.
And we'll see how it goes, but it's an odd situation.
Go ahead.
So, JP, you wrote about Case Keenum not being the problem. Let's talk about what he's actually been able to accomplish on the field with these young receivers. It's been very impressive.
Yeah, I mean, I tried to be clear in my piece. I don't think Case Keenum's playing at a Pro Bowl level or anything like that, but with the problems the Redskins have right now, Case Keenum is almost the only person keeping them somewhat in games. Everybody expected this to be a run-first and defense football team, and it's been the opposite. The defense cannot get stops, especially in the second half. Dallas didn't punt in the second half last week. That's a problem. And Keenum and the offense have been keeping them in it through two games. He's got 600 yards, 5 touchdowns, no interceptions. It's a good yards per attempt. It's about 7.5, so he's going downfield. We're seeing him take shots. I think Terry McLaurin's play and emergence is a big part of that. But I think I wrote this one. I know folks are excited that Daniel Jones is going to play in New York. They had to let Daniel Jones play because Eli is bad. Eli's not Eli anymore. Whatever you thought he was, he's not giving the Giants that opportunity. And above all else, in NFL locker rooms, those guys know what quarterback gives them the best chance to win games. And I think in New York, the locker room knew that Daniel Jones would give them a better chance to win. And I think in D.C., out of Redskins Park, those guys know that Keenum's going to give them the best chance to win games still.
I heard you on Chad's show yesterday, and I agree with you. I don't think it's likely, but there is a path to 3-3. And there is. I don't think it's likely. If I had to bet money, which is what I bet a few months ago, I'd bet that they go 1-4 and then 2-4.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But
They could beat the Bears, in my opinion. They could beat the Giants. And then if they don't beat the Dolphins, they should just quit.
Right. Right. Well, I said if they do go 3-3, JP, fans will start grasping a little bit.
Well, I actually think there's a stretch there where it doesn't get that hard.
Because the schedule is obviously tough early. Then there's a break, and then it gets tough late. But
right.
You go 3-3.
It's unlikely.
I still don't think they're going to make the playoffs at 3-3.
No, they're not going to make the playoffs either way.
Yeah,
but
I agree.
There is a path to 3-3. Don't you agree?
I do. I think. I mean, not to put too much pressure on a Week 3 game, but you got to beat the Bears. It's your only chance. I'll go a step further. That I don't think the playoffs are happening.
I think
the 3-3 is your chance at getting to respectability.
Yes.
Back to that 7-9, 8-8 kind of watermark that they've hit the last few years. I think if you don't beat the Bears, then you're really starting to look at somebody's getting fired before we get to Halloween.
Right.
So I think for the coaching staff, this is a big game because I think there hasn't been an in-season coordinator firing in a long time. Jay Gruden's never done it. It didn't happen during the Shanahan era. It's been a long time. That said, I think ownership, I think Dan Snyder would get so angry if they go 0-3, and then I honestly think if they go 0-3, then losing to the Giants in the Meadowlands becomes a possibility.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
If
they lose to the Giants, if they lose to the Bears and then lose to a rookie quarterback, then you're definitely going to see some moves.
Absolutely. And we got to remind ourselves what this Skins team has been. I could see them beating the Bears and then losing to the Giants. Or I could see them,
Of course. What
is the ultimate Redskins scenario that they beat the Patriots and lose to the Dolphins?
Well, that ain't going to happen.
Like that's not going to happen. You know that's not going to happen.
But I can see them beating the Bears in a close, 13-10 game and then losing to the Giants. Could totally see that.
Yeah. But, Bickle, I'm with you, man. I do think there's a chance to get to 3-3. And then from there, I think is when we would see some of these frustrating losses come in where they lose at home to the Jets or something, and then that's how you finish the year and you get to 7-9.
What's the first domino? Let's just say they lose the next two, which is also very possible, right? So they're at 0-4, and then after that they have what, the Patriots?
Patriots come
which is guaranteed loser. Maybe you wait till you go 0-5, then you blow everybody out. I don't know. But does Minuski go first? Is Minuski tied to Tom Sula? Is that what's keeping him around, or do they just get rid of all of them? As you say, I don't think they've done that since they brought in Rubisky.
You can't get rid of multiple coaches.
Sure you can.
Someone's got to coach the team.
Right.
Well, who are you going to bring in if you fire the entire defense?
This law season.
Somebody from inside.
You're not answering my question. Fire the entire staff.
No, I don't mean the entire staff.
Answer.
The guys on the hot seat are Jay and Minuski.
Yeah,
those are the two guys on the hot seat.
But I'm saying if you fire someone on the defensive staff, it's only going to be Minuski.
But
maybe
Tom Sula seems to be
weirdly
tied to him.
Yeah.
Right. The concern is that Tom Sula came back because of Minuski and that he would leave if Minuski gets fired. Honestly, if you get to 0-5, on some level, what difference does it make? I know the young defensive linemen love Jim Tom Sula, but if you've lost to if you're 0-5 and your season's shot and they feel that you've got to make a change at D coordinator, I don't know that Tom Sula would leave in season because he's also really close with those players he's coached now for 3 years. But I think if Minuski goes, I think you've got Ray Horton might be your leading candidate. You could also go with Rob Ryan. If Tom Sula stays, you could try to promote him, but I know that he wouldn't want to have to deal with kind of the media obligations that come with being a D coordinator. They have experienced guys on that staff, but, I think a lot of this, you could go back all the way to Jay's first year when he hired Joe Barry over Wade Phillips. Jay Gruden has, whether he's not, he's done this on purpose, and I would think he probably has, he has hired guys that do not fit the profile of potential head coaches as his defensive coordinators,
right.
And in a way that gives him
protect
a little
them.
Bit of protection that, hey, you're not going to fire the head coach to make that guy the head coach, because certainly you're not going to make Greg Minuski the head coach at this point. Now, maybe you could go with, Bill Callahan and Kevin O'Connell gets promoted, and then you look at like a Brown scenario where it was, it was Greg Williams for a year and then Freddie Kitchens gets the job. That wouldn't shock me if that kind of thing happened in D.C. and you're looking at Kevin O'Connell next year, but
I keep asking, JP, can Jay fire Minuski himself? Could he do it after, say they lose this week? Can Jay fire him himself?
I think he can. I don't think he would.
You don't think he will? Are they tight?
I don't know that they're tight, but I think they work together well. And, I mean, Jay hired him and kept him. Think about, we know who was calling in Todd Bowles for the interview. It wasn't Jay Gruden. And we know who was flirting with Greg Williams. It wasn't Jay Gruden. I don't know that Jay wanted to make a big-name replacement at the coordinator. I think he likes having Minuski there, somebody that he doesn't have to look over his shoulder towards.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know that – I know that there are – I think a lot of the AP situation is Jay's extreme frustration with the front office. And
yeah.
I think there are lots of little squabbles like that all over that building right now. But if Jay wanted to get rid of his D coordinator, you would think he has the autonomy to do so.
Right.
Yeah.
Seems like he's laying the foundation.
I think if that move happens, it's coming from higher up.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, JP. Could talk to you longer, but we're just running out of time. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks very much, guys. Take care.
All right, JP Finley.
If I'm Dan Snyder and it's a fiery disaster and it's 0-5, the first thing I do, and I know it's not going to happen, is I fire Bruce Allen. I say, you're right. You're the constant. You've been here through all
but
of this.
Like you said, it's not
I know
happen.
It's not going to happen.
Be realistic.
Because that's his friend. You can't fire his friend.
I mean, eventually moved on from Vinny Serrato.
Yep, maybe
Serrato was Bruce
I don't know.
Before that, Bruce was
with
Bruce.
That's what I would do. But I know that won't happen.
Yeah, right,
phone number you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. Remember, coming up at 9 o'clock, we go in the clubhouse with the Nats GM, Mike Rizzo, here on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We're taking to see the Nationals take on Philly September 26th at Nats Park. 106.7 The Fan and PenFed Credit Union. We're taking you out to the ball game all season long, courtesy of PenFed Credit Union. You can get more details at thefandc.com/contest. But again, 10th caller at 800-636-1067. I see somebody wants to chime in on Greg Minubski, as we call him, and it happens to be Nubs Doug.
Doug, what's up, buddy?
Doug is Nubs.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, man.
Just wanted to give you guys a call because I know everybody for 10 years now has trashed the defensive coordinator, no matter who it is. And I just wanted to say, as a huge Cowboys fan, I mean, you guys, it seemed like you had the right game plan to start the game. I mean, you were keeping Dak in the pocket. You were loading up against the run. And when you're down a corner, I mean, I honestly don't know what, like, educated fans or anybody that knows anything about football expects the defensive coordinator to do, because no matter what you do,
to figure out a way to pressure the quarterback. I think that's where the frustration is. And even Jay Gruden said the defense was vanilla. And he said that partly because they didn't have, you know, Fabian Moreau and Quentin Dunbar. But
well, that's my point.
I think fans expect them maybe to trick it up a little bit defensively and provide different looks.
But that's why fans are fans, because once you, what do you mean by trick it up? If you trick it up and you try to get pressure on the quarterback, that means you're leaving less people in coverage.
Right. But
so either way, you're
screwed. He's going to make a bad decision, a quick decision.
Okay, but the problem is once you rush a bunch of guys and you're getting pressure and then you're giving up deep balls, then the fans are still complaining about Minubski. So it really does, it's just a circle that goes around, and it all leads back to the lack of talent. Every year, Redskin fans over overevaluate and think that they're
not just fans. You go around, you look at all of the prognosticators, all of the talking heads. Everybody had this defense as talented as a top 10 potential defense, not just fans.
We were worried about the secondary.
Which, by the way,
worried
you're
about the secondary.
You're a fan too, Nubs, dog. You're not a coach, last time I checked.
I am, actually, but I do coach. But, I mean, okay. Again, I don't know why, what that has to do with the fact that he had the right game plan. That's the key focus here is you guys say make all this imaginary pressure while you got third and fourth string corners, and that's the dumbest thing ever. You had the right game plan.
It's not the right game plan when you give up 31 points.
It worked. Because you have a lack of talent. He's not the GM.
It worked for three drives.
Well, that is true. They are certainly not as talented as the Cowboys. And
it's just so ignorant to hear. I mean, it's like, what are you talking about? If you've ever coached a defense, you know you can't just make pressure and blitz a bunch of guys because then you'd be seeing Norman getting cooked even more.
Well, you can once in a while. I'm not saying you have to blitz.
Yeah, so in your theory, you should never blitz. You should never create pressure.
No, it's not that. It's just that you're limited. My theory is if you actually listen to what I'm saying is
I am listening.
It's the GM.
What?
It's Bruce Allen. It's the GM that gives you no talent year after year.
But they have.
You're not saying anything
new? That's why Belichick didn't win with the Browns. There's a reason Belichick didn't win with the Browns. It's because he didn't have the talent. He was still a genius when he was with the Browns.
He also didn't have Brady.
Yeah, well, that's what he's saying.
I'm talking about defensively, too.
See you, Dougie.
Hey, smile every once in a while. Why so angry?
Very
Why so
angry.
Brave?
What front office is Doug
I mean,
in?
He's a Cowboys fan. He should be happy. They're 2-0. They're killing it. They're going to be 3-0.
Let's go to Chip.
No, Doug, by the way, is Skippy's partner on Big Fat Winners.
Oh, it is.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Doug coaches Pee Wee football. Knows everything.
He knows.
I know.
Yeah, Chip. I'm here. Hey, Jeff, I had a couple of observations watching the broadcast the other day, but one of them that struck me at the end of the game was they showing the team come down the tunnel into the locker room. And here comes Haskins sporting a Ezekiel Elliott jersey. And then they flashed back to here's Haskins and Ezekiel Elliott exchanging jerseys out on the field. And my thought was in the context of here goes Daniel Jones in New York. And here's our guy, Mr. Clipboard. I haven't been in a game yet, but I'm out here after we just got toasted by the Dallas Cowboys, supposedly our arch rival. I'm out here with my
Ohio State
homeboy. Do that all the time.
I got no problem with it. It's standard.
And he wasn't the only guy.
It's a respectful
thing doing that.
Guys just do that.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine back in the day that Tom Brady would have ever been standing out there on the field after a game exchanging
plenty of guys do it. Plenty of legends do it.
After.
Yeah. Plenty of legends do it. They're
pretty standard now.
Well, you got to remember,
D-Wade did it with
guys.
Kevin Herter this past NBA season. I mean, legends exchange
they
jerseys.
They did go to the same school. I mean, they know each other.
Of course.
I mean, I'm not sure they're best buddies, but I'm sure they're friends.
A lot of fist shaking on the front
connection.
Lawn from that guy.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong
it
with it.
It was kind of weird at, you know, seeing Donald Penn and Haskins out there smoking and joking with Zeke at the 50.
But
after the game.
They do that after every game.
Yeah, they're professionals.
Everybody
after
does
the,
that.
After the game, if they are buddies, they dap each other up. And
there's a prayer circle.
You can't expect them to just hate each other
run
away.
But I can see why there are certain Redskins fans who are perturbed by it.
Yeah. Well, when the final whistle blows, you got to let it go.
I mean, it did look like the loss affected Donald Penn. He's out there like he's watching Steve Harvey.
Probably deep down it doesn't.
Steve Harvey.
I mean, seriously.
There's a professional athlete in here that's revered in this town that said to me, he doesn't care if they win or lose.
I was there when he said it, too.
Yeah.
It was
a revered
shocking.
Athlete.
It was actually shocking when he said it.
He said at the end of the day, he doesn't really care.
It was actually shocking.
Shocking
when he said
to
it.
Me, too, and disappointing, but he was being honest.
By the way, this.
And no, we're never going to tell you who it was.
2019, this has to be the last year of the Josh Norman experiment, right?
I don't care. Yes.
I mean, there's no way that he's back in 2020.
Zero.
I think he has.
I don't know
like,
he'll be anywhere.
I think there's like a dead cap hit on him of like $3 million.
I think his
it's
career might be over.
It's impossible that he's back here.
Unless he's willing to play for like $1 million.
Yeah.
He's
going to get released in the offseason with the quickness.
Oh, yeah.
So Monday night's a home game, right?
Yes.
Yes.
At FedEx. When's their next home game after that?
Patriots.
They play New York.
Those will draw. The Bears Monday night will draw.
Yeah.
Patriots will draw. I'm just wondering when their next home game is where it's not like a premier team.
I think it's the Niners.
Probably the Niners
after the Dolphins game.
The Niners, I mean, though they've been down for a long time, still have a bit of a national fan base. I wouldn't be shocked to see a good turnout of Niners fans there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it won't be like the Cowboys or for Patriots.
Or the Eagles.
I mean, I would.
Lions might be a bit of a dud.
You think people. Oh, like, you
yeah.
think
Lions be, might be a bit of a
there
dud.
There won't be anybody for
you
that
think
game.
The donks from Boston and all the front runners that can't get tickets to see the Patriots in Foxborough, you think they're not going to be at FedEx Field in a few weeks?
I think they will.
They're going to be there.
I think they will.
In huge numbers.
It's not going to be like 2 years ago where you had like only 20,000 people, you know, because you'll have the opposing fans who have access
Lions
to tickets
game.
Again. Lions game will be the least, but you'll. I don't know, 30,000 maybe. I don't know.
You thought there was going to be 20,000 at a preseason game.
Yeah. Yeah, I was wrong.
I wouldn't be surprised if it's down that low.
I was shocked they had 71,000 at the Cowboys game, even knowing all those Cowboys fans were going. I didn't think there were that many. I was kind of shocked.
I don't know. There were a ton of tickets. I looked at SeatGeek right before the game. There were so many tickets available.
Well, supposedly
71,000. I don't know how they come up with those numbers.
So supposedly 71,000 went.
Yeah.
I would have bet maybe 50.
All right, coming up next, we'll go around the league with the Junkies Blitz. Got you five questions. It is a Wednesday. We'll get to that next here on the Junkies.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.